This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Here's the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the resident fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. 30 years, they give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But, brother, I am bad, and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out because the love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues. Dusty Rhodes Tour 85 and Ric Flair, Nature Boy. Let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real wolf champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
And the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, couldn't have better himself. One of the best promos of all time. And leads us into this special presentation brought to you by Place to Be Nation's main event and the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. My name is Scott Criscola. We have just finished NWA's Hard Times, the second pay-per-view produced by the National Wrestling Alliance in its new incarnation, brought to you by President William Patrick Corgan. That's his name now. He doesn't call himself Billy anymore. But I guess when you're older, not many people say Billy. But in any event, it just finished. We do have a new World's Television Champion. The tournament concluded. We have a champion. A couple title changes, as well as some forwarding of the storyline between Strictly Business and Villain Enterprises. But we can't do that alone. Let me bring in my partner. He's kind of my NWA compadre, a contributor to the main event. He is currently one of the analysts on Place to Be Nation's Year in Pop, the Doctor, Dr. G, George Ablino. Do you feel like that since your voice is a little raspy tonight, that you're kind of like Sid Bennett there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Shut up. The grown-ups are talking, okay?
The grown-ups are talking. That's your new thing now. Now you're going to quote – you're going to open every one of our shows now with a quote from one of the stars. They need to make a T-shirt that says that and let me talk to you. And Eli Drake had a lot of talking to do this week. So good to have you, Doctor.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm really looking forward to talking about this pay-per-view. I'll tell you the truth. I have not been this excited about wrestling in a long time. I really am enjoying the NWA. I know maybe some of the new school out there may not be enjoying it as much, but I'm loving it. Like I said in the last podcast, I love the mixture between the old school and the new school. I mean, well, Nick Aldis is the, you know, the this century's Ric Flair. I mean, you can't compare. I'm trust me, Ric Flair is one of my favorite of all time. I'm not trying to compare Nick Aldis to Ric Flair and say, you know, that he's Nick Aldis is on that level, but what he's doing, he's the way he's representing the NWA and that championship just gives you that old school feel of how Ric Flair was. Obviously, they don't have the territories and all that, but you know, he's kind of having to be a traveling champion because NWA is not at the level of a WWE or even a AEW.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, he's been champion for a while. I mean, people forget he's been champion since October of 18. So his title reign is reaching. I mean, is
again,
over
it's
400
that
days.
Old school. Let the guy hold the belt. Let people chase
stability.
The stability of it. I just love, you know, he's just a great speaker in terms of the way he gets up there and he does his promos. You love it. I mean, I don't think they're scripted like WWE is. I don't think they have that kind of infrastructure at NWA. So that means Nick Aldis is doing this on his own. He's showing his personality.
Correct.
I mean, you hear him on other podcasts or interviews. I mean, he's actually a very humble guy, you know, good guy, but he just takes his, you know, everybody in order to be that good, you have to have a little cockiness in you. He just amps it up, you know, amps up a little bit of that personality. And I just love it. I mean, he's grown since his TNA days.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't have picked a better guy to represent the NWA in its new incarnation.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think, and as we'll talk tonight, and we said this a lot at the last pay-per-view, I really like the mix on the NWA roster. There's a lot of good youth, including who's been in this tournament, as well as the what we've seen some of the older guys. Now, there are some questionable – there are people that say that some of their moves were questionable in terms of slots in the show, but we'll get to that. But I think it was a good mix of getting names in here to kind of get more eyeballs on the product and show off some of the younger talent. And one of the talents – shined
they're
tonight.
They're gonna have missteps, you know. And again, because the way the world is these days, and everybody's always got something to say, especially when they're sitting behind a keyboard, you're gonna have that. It's you know, but overall, you know, I just think the product they're putting out is good. It's not going to have that big arena feel or anything like that. You're looking for that, then go watch AEW, go watch WWE. Mm-hmm. But if you want a little old school and some of that studio wrestling, and I like the fact that it seems like they may eventually obviously move, get a little bigger places for the pay-per-view, but it's kind of nice. The first two pay-per-views in the same place that they're doing their YouTube show, mm-hmm. but they kind of just add a couple little elements and they make the guys get announced,
right. Yep.
And come down the aisle. So that's kind of cool. And, you know, there's a little bit of that fan interaction. I don't know. I just love it. You know
what I mean? It's great. They definitely switch it up. But we'll talk about the future because that was the one big announcement. And, I mean, of course, Into the Fire had big announcements up the wazoo. There was one announcement that was made tonight on the show, and we'll talk about that. And, you know, good job at the NWA to kind of fill the weekend for wrestling fans because tomorrow night, Saturday night, is, of course, When Worlds Collide on the WWE Network where NXT goes against NXT UK. And then, of course, on Sunday from the questionable baseball team's stadium, Minute Maid Park in Planet Houston, is the Royal Rumble. So big weekend for wrestling and a good way to start it off. And they were smart to put it on Friday and not counter it with When Worlds Collide tomorrow night. All right. So obviously the headline thing or the headline event within this pay-per-view is the tournament to decide the new NWA World Television Champion. Now, before we get into that.
Wait, you said it wrong. It's Worlds.
Worlds. Well, no, actually, technically, it doesn't even have World. No, it's World. Actually, I'm looking at it. It says World.
Yeah.
The only World.
On the belt, but in the show, they were calling it the World's Television Champion.
Yeah, I don't know. Were they? Because I know that they were calling the tag titles Worlds. They didn't call the women's title Worlds. They just called it World. So I'm not sure what the deal is there. And Dave Marquez has to be a little more. He just needs a little more streamlined. He made some gaffes tonight. They need to kind of, you know, whip him into shape a little bit. So the history of the World Television title, we're gonna take a look at it a little bit. The last time somebody held it, the belt was created back in February of 1974. Just as a side note, Dr. G, who was the inaugural NWA Television Champion?
I have no idea.
Danny Miller. According to Wiki, he defeated Ole Anderson in a tournament final on February 27th, my dad's birthday, 1974.
Now, was it called the NWA World TV title back in 74, though?
It was called the – well, no. At the time, it was just the NWA Mid-Atlantic Television Championship. Then it was just the Television Championship from 77 to 85. Then it became the World Television Championship from 85 to 91. And then in 91, it went from NWA to WCW. And, of course, it lasted till 2000. So, of course, all the names, I mean, Ric Flair, Paul Jones, Angelo Mosca, The Hammer, Greg Valentine, Ricky Steamboat, I mean, names up the wazoo. The last television champion was, oh, great, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He found the championship belt in a dumpster on a February 2000 episode of Saturday Night and claimed the title. It's the only way.
I know they kind of claimed that lineage to WCW, but who was the last NWA?
The last NWA champion was Paul Orndorff on March 2nd, 1993. He beat the title was vacated by Scott Steiner when him and his brother left to go to the WWF. So Orndorff defeated Eric Watts in a tournament final. And
they were still calling it NWA because it became WCW.
I know, but according to – yeah, which is funny. But according to Wiki, it switched over to – even though it says 91, it switched over to WCW, the WCW TV title in 1993. And Paul Orndorff was technically the last NWA champion. Now, when it switched over to the National Wrestling Alliance – all right, well, let's put it this way. The lineage started in 74. Then in 88, it became the NWA / WCW TV title. The champion at the time was Nikita Koloff. That was in August of 87. He was the champion when it was half and half. So – and of course, the TV title lay dormant until tonight when the tournament went down. So there were eight guys in the tournament, four first round matches. Three of them happened, and then we had a I don't know if it was
you know whose belt that is though.
Well, it's Papa Arn's.
Of course,
it'll always be double. It'll always be Double A's belt. Double A had the TV title. Tully always either had the national heavyweight title, which of course was also defended tonight, but not the belt that they have now, the one that kind of looks like the TV belt, except the ribbon on the belt is yellow and not red. Of course, you had the tags and then, you know, the rest of them. So in any event, there were eight guys in the tournament, four first round matches. Three of the matches happened. One of them didn't. And there was some sort of something we're trying to figure out on the injury angle there, but we'll get to that. And then all the other belts were on the line tonight, including Sweet Charlotte. The World's Heavyweight Championship actually went on the line tonight during the show. I got to be honest with you. I was not crazy about this move, when we talk about our pros and cons at the end. But what was a non-title match became a title match midway through the show. So the first three matches, Joe Galli and Mr. Bennett welcome us to
You getting used to Joe Galli Atlanta. Now?
A little bit. He makes a few mistakes here and there, but he's doing his best. I don't think he's too bad. Dave Marquez struggled a ton during the ring announcing. He actually announced the wrong guy first in one of the matches, so he's not Howard Finkel. He is not, or David Penzer, or Gary Michael Capetta by any stretch. But he's doing his best. But he needs work. So Joe Galli and Mr. Bennett welcome us to Atlanta to the technically it's called the G what is it called the GWE GPB? Studio
GPB Studios
GPD Studios so otherwise known as the NWA Arena, which is pretty funny. So the first three matches, we'll talk to them. We'll talk about them in a group. Trevor Murdoch defeated the question mark. Dan Maff defeated Zicky Dice. That's your boy, Zicky Dice. and finally, Ricky Starks, the kid, defeated Matt Cross. Matt Cross, a well-known wrestler, wrestled in the Ring of Honor. Dan Maff, former tag champion in Ring of Honor. Then, apparently, the fourth first round match was supposed to be Tim Storm taking on Ken Anderson. Well, Tim Storm comes out, and apparently Ken Anderson was not cleared to wrestle due to injury. So Tim Storm got a bye to the semifinals. I don't know what the deal with that was. I don't know if it was kayfabe or if he's really hurt. Don't really know what happened there. But your thoughts on the three first round matches we did see.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I mean, I was a little surprised with Trevor Murdoch beating the question mark just because of the, you know, the everybody, the question mark has that, you know, underground following.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe they would advance him, but Trevor Murdoch, you know, Trevor Murdoch's a pretty good wrestler. I'm actually enjoying his matches, you know, for a big guy.
He moves pretty well in the ring.
The Dan Maff Zicky Dice match was also really good. Dan Maff is like he's such a monster, you know.
He's a hoss. Yeah, he's a hoss.
He really. And the Ricky Starks Matt Cross match started out a little slow, but that it really picked up, and I really enjoyed that match as well. So I mean, pretty good job in those, you know, in that round of matches. I thought, I don't really have any complaints about it. I thought they were, you know, well done,
mm-hmm.
And the crowd stayed in it into each match, which was really nice. You know, you didn't really get too much, you know, especially in a small studio, if you get the crowd gets quiet, it kind of gets, you know, you remember even watching the studio shows when we were younger. It was like, oh, God, what the hell are we watching here? It's kind of boring. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't find myself getting bored. Let's put it that way.
No, the crowd was very hot. The crowd kept the energy going. For those that don't know who Dan Maff is, Jersey guy, he's in his late 40s, but he's wrestled around. He's won many tag titles. He actually is a two-time ROH tag champion with BJ Whitmer. And he also was a former CZW tag team champion with Monster Mac. So he's been around. But he's a fucking hoss.
He moves pretty well for 280 pounds.
Yeah. No, he definitely did. And everyone knew the Zicky Dice gimmick was going to run out eventually. And Ricky Starks, Daddy Strike, a lot of people thought was the favorite going in. I didn't think he was a favorite. I thought he'd have a good showing, but I didn't know how far he would go in the tournament. But he beats Matt Cross. So it would be Trevor Murdoch against Dan Maff in one semi, Ricky Starks against Tim Storm in the other semi. So we move on to our first title match of the evening, a triple threat tag match for the NWA World's Tag Team Championship. Your champions, Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton, the Rock and Roll Express, against the wild card, the former champions, Royce Isaacs and Tom Latimer, and a put-together team of the Cowboy James Storm, who, of course, lost the NWA World title match to Nick Aldis at the last pay-per-view, and Eli Drake.
Sorry about your damn
luck. And he actually quoted that on this evening. This was a great match. I was asking you last night, tonight when we were watching it, most triple threat matches, all three wrestlers wrestle at the same time. Triple threat tags, usually it's two guys or gals, depending on what kind of match it is. And, you know, they tag off different teams. But in this match, all three guys of each team were in the ring together. So still acted like a triple threat, but instead of a singles match, it was a tag match. I was kind of taken aback by that. What did you think of that?
I was too at first, but I kind of enjoyed it. It was different. You know, again, NWA is trying to find its niche with things. And, you know, maybe, I mean, there could have been other, you know, three-way tag team matches that have done this before. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I did enjoy it once it got in there, because now you know, the strategy kind of changes. It's kind of like when you watch just a regular triple threat match, you know, three single guys. You know, now you're trying to keep one guy from tagging in the other guy, but then you're trying to, you know, take control, and then, you know, then you want to try to get rid of one of the guys. So this way it's just more of a one-on-one type of matchup, which they tried to do with Robert Gibson. So I thought it was pretty good. I mean, obviously the Rock and Roll Express have shown their age. Actually, Ricky Morton could still go. Robert Gibson, he's showing his age, but I you know, Ricky Morton does a decent job, you know, for his age. Listen, these guys are in their 50s. Close to 60, 60s. I would say.
And Ricky, I mean, Ricky Morton's dropping Canadian destroyers. I mean, that's insane. You know, not exactly a headlock.
You know, he's Ricky Morton is 63. So I mean,
yeah. And I think Robert's like 65. I think he's a little older.
And actually, he's 61.
Jesus. Well, he didn't look it. He moved around like he was 81. But Ricky Morton definitely.
Ricky, I know, you know, I've heard him on a couple podcasts. He really now keeps himself in shape now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of cleaned up his life a little bit, you know, had some issues in previous years and, you know, has his own school now, the School of Morton. So I really, you know, he definitely, you know, he could still go pretty well. But, you know, a lot of people criticize why were they the champions and all that. It was just more of a name recognition. But, you know, as we could tell from the match here with the new champs, it was good. Now, you know, they kind of got the belts established now. You know, the Wild Cards originally had the belts, but now you get the, you know, you put it on the kind of an old school feel, kind of give a little feel good thing. And now you move on from the Rock and Roll Express. And now you could really start building that tag team division.
Yeah, they definitely need to start creating some more teams. I mean, they got the Dawsons now, and, you know, you still got our team that really needs to get off their feet. Eddie Kingston and Homicide. I think Homicide's been hurt. I think that's why we haven't seen him much. But as you alluded, we have new tag team champions, Eli Drake and James Storm. Drake pinned, I think he pinned Ricky Morton. And so Drake and Storm are your new tag team champions.
I mean, Eli Drake and James Storm kind of a put-together team. I think eventually they're going to be out on their own as singles, but I think it's a good move.
Yep, I agree.
And give them the belts and let them establish the belts and kind of establish themselves. And then they'll get back in the singles division. I think the Wild Cards are going to be the key guys in this tag team division, though.
Yeah, well, they're in the heel faction. They're in the group with Aldis and those guys. And I thought they were going to win tonight, actually. I thought they were going to try and load that faction up with gold. But
this is what I love about the NWA, too. And, you know, because you do have some lesser-known guys. There's a lot of unpredictability. Like, I thought the same thing. I thought that the Wild, you know, that we're going to make a stable of all the guys have the belts like the Horsemen. Maybe eventually they'll get to that point, but maybe they didn't want to do it right off the bat. Let it build up to something eventually down the road where then maybe all those guys have a belt like the Four Horsemen, or maybe they just want to do their own thing. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. So I agree.
It's recycled in wrestling all the time. I mean,
sure it does. Sure it does. But so they definitely, you know, need to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So when you do see something new, like, you know, in the WWE, for instance, you have the Fiend. You know, that was something new, something different, you know, than we normally see in a heel, or, you know, like, you know, when they created the Undertaker back in the early 90s, that was something different. But then you always have some of those, you know, the factions that, you know, like Evolution was kind of like the new Four Horsemen, you know, kind of thing, you know, just kind of like recycling it, which is, there's nothing bad with that. I mean, it's just, it's nice when you can see something different, and which is what maybe they're trying to go with. Again, you and I, at our old school wrestling way, I think these two guys are, you know, I think the Wild Cards are going to win, so they put all the belts on the guys in Strictly Business. And they didn't do that.
And they could eventually, but I think you got to reestablish Storm and Drake. Well, because Drake, I think, is a future world champion. I think about that too. And James Storm could be as well, but he's obviously in the back end of his career. So there you go. So it was I thought it was a great match. A lot of movement, a lot of moving parts, but a lot of fun. And Eli Drake and James Storm are your new world's tag team champions.
And I like the, you know, Camille, give, you know, giving Robert Gibson a hard time and, you know, deflecting him.
She is so fucking hot. You won't be seeing her in the NWA. Once Vince takes a look at her, she'll be gone. She'll be leaving the NWA. They'll be throwing money at her to go to NXT. Although we haven't really seen her wrestle. I mean, she's got a great body and she's got this presence, but I don't know if she has any ring skills. We haven't seen that yet, so who knows? So before we move on to the next match, Sid Bennett does in fact have his announcement. He's got some breaking news, and he talks about the next time we will see the NWA on pay-per-view. Three things came out of this. Number one, and I kind of anticipated this, the next NWA pay-per-view will be in April. A date has not been set yet. It's sometime in April. So they'll take a couple months off from pay-per-view, so there'll be no NWA pay-per-view in February and no NWA pay-per-view in March, which makes sense. February is going to be a very busy month for other promotions. You've got Impact has a pay-per-view, I think, in February. You've got NXT has a takeover on the 16th in Portland, Oregon. And then, of course, on Leap Year Day, February 29th, AEW has Revolution. So it's a busy month. Then March, you've got Elimination Chamber, and then most people will be paying attention to the build to WrestleMania. So smart for the NWA to take the next couple months off on pay-per-view, kind of start rebuilding things on Power for the next several weeks. So the next NWA pay-per-view will be in April. We don't have a date yet. Number two, you finally called it, Dr. G. It will not be in the studios in Atlanta. They will be going out to a bigger place. We don't know where that place is yet. That is to be announced.
When we say bigger place, we're not talking about a
we're not talking about like, they're not going to move out of WrestleMania, will not leave Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, and then the NWA is going to do it. We're talking like, you know, the ECW arena or something that size, something that probably seats like maybe 2,000 or 3,000. Yeah, nothing crazy. And number three, it's actually going to be the return of a show they did last year. And Mr. Bennett got up, walked over to this thing that was covered in a cloth. He pulled the cloth down, and what was there? The Crockett Cup. So the Crockett Cup is returning. Of course, the awesome tag team tournament that Jim Crockett Promotion started in the 80s. It's technically the fourth annual, or the fourth Crockett Cup. They did one in 85, one in 80, or it was 80, 86 and 87. Then they did one last year. The one last year was on April 27th down at the Cabarrus Arena in Concord, North Carolina. Let's see. Believe it or not, Villain Enterprises. So Marty Scurll's faction, Brody King and PCO. PCO is now, of course, the world champion in Ring of Honor. They won the tournament. But then Nick Aldis and Marty Scurll had a 24-minute world title match, which Aldis won by submission. So maybe they're leaning towards that again this year. So there's the three. There was the big announcements. The next NWA pay-per-view will be in April. We don't have a date yet. It will be not in the studios. They will be on the road somewhere. And then finally, it will be the fourth Crockett.
Should be interesting to see. I think it'll probably be somewhere down south. Like last year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, well, we'll see where in North Carolina it'll be, huh? Watch, it'll be in like, it'll be in like Bridgeport or something while we're gone. be in Brooklyn.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I know that right now, you know, they're doing the smart thing. They're using those studios, keeping the costs down. But I really would love to see them get up here in the Northeast. I think they could do it. I mean, when you see online and on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media mediums, the NWA has a little following going. They really
well,
do.
and also working with Ring of Honor, which is primarily a Northeast promotion,
right?
That doesn't hurt. So
no, I think it's smart. You know what? Ring of Honor, yes, they are struggling, but sometimes you know you put a company that's trying to get started and a company that may be struggling but does have a name and does have some, you know, some good talent there, trading the talent. I think I don't see any problem with it at all. What do you have to lose at this point?
Exactly.
I think they're smart to do that. So you may be right. Maybe if they do get some Ring of Honor guys in this Crockett Cup tournament, maybe you do get it up here.
Yeah, they did 18.
Like a Philadelphia, maybe.
Right.
What about the old ECW arena? You know, what is it called now?
The Viking 2300 Hall or something.
2300 Arena or something like that.
Yeah, some weird name. Now, of course, the old Crockett Cup tournaments had, what, like fucking 32 teams or some shit? Last year, they had just eight. Here were the teams last year. Last year, you had the Briscoe Brothers, of course, ROH team, Rock and Roll Express, Kojima and Nagata, Villain Enterprises, so that was Brody King and PCO, Flip Gordon and Bandito, so you had the other half of Villain Enterprises. You had Guerrero Maya Jr. and Stuka Jr., the War Kings, which is Crimson and Jack Stain, and the future wildcards, Royce Isaacs and Thomas Latimer. Villain Enterprises beat, and this is what makes this pretty good, Villain Enterprises, PCO and Brody King, beat the wild card in the tournament final. So that's something they can lean on. And again, the main event of that show, Nick Aldis defeated Marty Scurll to retain the World's Heavyweight Championship, otherwise known as Sweet Charlotte. So something to think about for a couple of months when we have this year's Crockett Cup. So that was the big news by Sid Bennett on the show, is that there will be the next pay-per-view. It is in April. Again, no date set yet and no place set yet, but they've got plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, I was surprised they even mentioned it without having all those details, but
I think they wanted to get people excited. You know
what's funny about the whole NWA thing? You know, like, you know, you hear a lot of rumors about all the other companies. You don't really hear, like, you know, I don't, like, who's doing the booking behind the scenes and stuff like that. I mean, I don't read a lot of the dirt sheets and stuff like that. So maybe it is out there, but I don't see it, like, spoken about.
I mean, Dave Lagana must do a decent amount, you know. I think Billy Corgan probably just kind of dips his toe in because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I mean, you know, it's Billy Corgan. You know what I mean? I mean, he did a song for the show, but he I definitely think he's got people there, you know, trusting somebody. Dave Lagana must have a small group of people. I would think people like Trevor Murdoch, I mean, some of the older guys on the roster.
Dave Lagana's, you know, doing a great job. I mean, his you know, the pieces he puts together.
Yep.
I know he's behind that. He was really good at it in WWE. You know, the production and everything is pretty top notch for, you know, yep, you know, a company.
No, I agree.
A company you can't even call third really right now in the United States.
Well, there's a, as we say on main event, as we say on Place B Nation's main event, we call it the six pack. There's probably six promotions, main promotions in pro wrestling right now: WWE, AEW, New Japan, NWA, Ring of Honor, and
Impact.
So, and how you rank them is depends on really your tastes, I suppose. So, next match is many consider the match of the night. You and I were a little shaky on it in the first few minutes, but it ended up actually picking up and being really good in the end. Allison Kay, your world women's champion, defending the title against Thunder Rosa, who's part of Melina's little group there. Believe it or not, actually, speaking of, Allison Kay actually won the Crockett Cup. She won the women's title, which was vacant, from Santana Garrett at the Crockett Cup a year ago. So, Allison Kay's been champion this whole time. But I had a feeling facing Thunder Rosa, who, by the way, is undefeated. I had a feeling that there was going to be a passing of the belt here. First off, if you really look up close at the women's title, it's kind of old school, very Moolah-ish, because they actually have the champion's picture in it. So Allison Kay's picture is actually on the belt, which I think is actually very, very good touch. I don't know how long the match was. Wiki doesn't have times. I would say it was probably between, I'd say it was probably between 13 and 15 minutes.
I agree.
Great. The first few minutes, you know what this match reminds me of? And if you've been listening to my part one of my reveal of my GWWE top 100 matches of all time, WWE matches of all time, a match that I always talk about as the perfect example of a match that fakes you out in the beginning because it starts off really slow and then somewhere a switch flips and it's killer the rest of the way. And I always use the example of Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker for the world title at No Way Out 2006. This match was exactly the same way. The first few minutes, I seemed like there was a lot of like punchy, kicky stuff, and they weren't really right. that great. And it wasn't really very good punches and kicks. Clumsy at times. So I look, you're like, I thought you actually said it to me. You're like, we've watched both of these women on Power, and they're really good wrestlers. What the fuck is wrong? Like, I don't know. Yeah, but then all of a sudden,
they weren't clicking in the beginning, and then all of a sudden something clicked in, and I thought the match was really, you know, ended off great. I thought that they put on a good show.
Yeah, and they had some nice false finishes.
You know who's happy out there, though, that Thunder Rose is the new champion.
Ah, one of the biggest fans I know, and we're going to refer to her, and we're going to tag her on Twitter when the show is out, and that is, of course, the Kid at Kid NWA. She's the number one Thunder Rosa. She's a heel. We know her dad. And he probably loves it too.
He's the other doctor.
That's right. That's right. He's the doctor of science. Period. Anyway,
if you want to listen to a good podcast with NWA Kid, you could subscribe on YouTube at NWA Kid, and you can get her podcast that she does with her dad, and it's really good. And I really enjoy her enthusiasm. It's really neat to see, someone that young really be into it and really enjoying this old school wrestling right now. Old school, new school. I don't know. I got to come up with a name for it. It's old school.
It's at Kid NWA. Let's just make sure. And her parents do monitor it. So just wanted to let you know that. But it's at
Kid NWA. And she had an interview with Thunder Rosa, which was good. So.
Yep. And she actually painted her face.
You know what? I say let's support all our NWA podcasts and YouTube channels and all that out there, because it only makes the, it only gets the word out and makes NWA stronger by getting a groundswell of fans, because I really want to see the NWA hang around. I really do.
Yep. No, I agree 100%. And she definitely loved this finish. In fact, there was a couple of great submissions that Thunder Rosa tried, but Allison Kay, who's bigger, used strictly her power to kind of get out of them. But eventually, Thunder Rosa did this nice roll-up finish and is the new, no surprise, World Women's Champion. And out came Melina and the rest of the crew and celebrated. So even though Thunder Rosa got some face pops, I know you get pissed off at that heels get cheered, but I think people in this instance just respect Thunder Rosa as a great wrestler, and they did thing on Power.
At this point, I can't get too pissed off anymore, because you know what? It's just different. The fans are different today, just like I'm sure, you know, the fans from the 70s thought that we were different kinds of fans in the 80s. So it is what it is. It's cool. As long as people are into it and they're enjoying it, that's the main thing.
And honestly, she's the only heel. She's really the only heel that gets cheered in NWA, to be honest.
Well, you know, sometimes all of this gets cheered.
Yeah, not then, as much then, now, though, because then the factions solidified.
I mean,
yeah,
I
not
it.
As much
I
now,
it.
Though. And question mark gets cheered. The track suits are tremendous. I want one of those. I want one of those jackets. Question mark gets cheered, but he's really a face who's being duped. And we're going to get more into question mark later in the show, because it was not the last time we see him.
He's basically Mizdow.
He is, even though he's called Sensei.
But Mizdow was in WWE, was really the one getting cheered all the time. He was kind of like the face, kind of being duped. And so it's the same thing. But like I said, sometimes in wrestling, you will see things get recycled in a different way, but there's nothing wrong with it. You know,
you have to. There's only so many ideas that can be created.
Stevens,
you know,
he's great.
He is great. We'll get to him in a minute.
Great chicken shit deal.
He is. He is. Of course, he defended his title a little bit later on in the show. But before we get to that, though, Dave Marquez brings out the aforementioned Marty Scurll to cut a promo, and he does an interview. Out comes Nick Aldis. Now, again, Aldis's match tonight with Flip Gordon was originally just a non-title interpromotional. Well, Marty Scurll kept nudging and baiting Aldis to put the belt up tonight, to put Sweet Charlotte on the line against Flip Gordon. And Aldis says, fine, I'm the dealer. He stole that line from Ric Flair, by the way, because Ric Flair always used to call himself the dealer. On one condition, if He wins. Nick Aldis wins. He controls the narrative. He controls all situations involving Ring of Honor and Villain Enterprises and Strictly Business. So he's the one that calls the shots. So now the match between Aldis and Flip Gordon is now a World's Heavyweight title match. And I got to be honest, I was not in favor of that because we knew that Aldis would then win. So even by DQ, unless it was a schmoz. But Marty had to leave the building. So Marty Scurll was escorted out of the studios by the NWA yep. security. There was no Doug Dellinger, by the way. So I was not crazy about that decision because yeah, I feel like it's set up for – yeah, a little set up. It's set up for what would happen. So we continue on in the tournament, and now the semifinals. And the first semifinal was the one I was now looking forward to now that we knew what the semifinals were. Trevor Murdoch and Dan Moff. And oh my God, did these two hosses just fucking pummel each other? They were throwing chop bombs.
Did you see what Murdoch's chest looked like? And I have to be honest
with you,
Walter was
very proud.
Trevor Murdoch. You know, remember he was really close with Harley Race, so he kind of has that mixture of Harley Race and Dick Murdoch kind of way that he wrestles.
I got suckered in. I thought he was Dick Murdoch's kid. Boy, was I wrong. I got suckered into the kayfabe there. The match
Star
was really
your damn luck.
He was already on. They'll have to make a shirt eventually. Although I don't know if that is that line to copy. I guess James Storm owns that line. I guess TNA at the time was too stupid to not copyright it, so they should make shirts for it. There's a lot of shirts NWA can make. They have a few gimmick shirts. They have the Mama Storm. They've got Karate. They have a Camille shirt. I think they have a couple others, but I think they need a shirt that says, let me talk to you. I think they need the grown-ups are talking, and I think they need
the grown-ups are talking.
And I think they need a sorry about your damn luck. I think they need to make more shirts. Anyway, Murdoch took on Dan Moff, and these guys were hitting the shit out of each other. Fun match. I want to see more of Dan Moff. Maybe he'll bounce around back and forth more to NWA. I do like Murdoch's top rope Bulldog finisher. I think that's really cool. Very Dustin Rhodes-ish.
Yep.
And Murdoch gets the win. So Trevor Murdoch moves on to the finals of the tournament to take on either.
Was not expecting that.
No, I wasn't either. But, well, I wouldn't – if you had asked me at the beginning of the night, was he going to make it, I'd have said no. But I don't think they would have had Dan Moff move to the final if they wanted to keep that NWA-centric. But at the beginning of the night, no, I was not expecting Trevor Murdoch to win. So Murdoch takes on the winner of the next match between Ricky Starks and Tim Storm. I would have, with Murdoch winning, although they kind of like, NWA kind of likes doing the mid-faces versus faces kind of thing. I wasn't sure if Storm was going to win here now, but you had two faces going up against another face. So it really didn't matter in that case. Tim Storm, I don't want to say he wrestled heelish, but Tim Storm did use his size to his advantage against a smaller Ricky Starks throughout most of the match.
Yes.
But Ricky Starks did hit some big moves and got Tim Storm caught in a roll-up. And Ricky Starks, who's probably about half of Tim Storm's size, moves on to the final to take on.
You were predicting Tim Storm to win.
I was predicting Tim Storm to win. I was predicting Tim Storm to win. I felt like they were building to that. But after seeing this, I feel like now Tim Storm is at that point where he is now a kind of a transitional guy. He's older now. He's in his – he's got to be in his what?
50s
now? Yeah, he's a teacher, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I keep thinking he's from Georgia, but he's actually from Arkansas. And he's probably getting to that point where he's moving on in his career. So now it's time to put guys over. And it was the right thing to do. And the match was pretty fun. Now, just to recap to let you know, if you've been watching Power, all television title matches are 6 minutes and 5 seconds. And on this show, if the time limit ran out, then there would be a judge panel to grade the match on who would win. And it was between Billy Corgan, the referee, and Sid Bennett. So when they said that, I'm thinking, oh, one of these matches is going to end, you know, the time limit. We're going to get some kind of fucking shit. In the end, nobody. All the matches ended with pins or submissions. So there was the judges weren't even needed. But they had to say that anyway. Yeah, that's good. I like filling the kayfabe holes in the story. That's
but you know
attention to detail.
Happen. Eventually, they're going to use them as judges, you know.
Well, they'll have to.
So now they're kind of like putting it out there so people know.
Yep,
I agree.
So your final is Ricky Starks against Trevor Murdoch. But first, we have two more matches, the last two title matches of the evening. The NWA National Championship is on the line. The third degree national champion. That's what he's called now. Aaron Stevens, or as Sid Bennett calls him, Shooter Stevens. I just love the way Sid Bennett says that. Aaron Shooter Stevens. Taking on the big bad booty daddy himself. Yes, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. And I remember, Dr. G, when he made it to WWE in 2002, I thought of this, is when your wife was pregnant with your daughter. And I remember consistently calling you Big Bad Booty Daddy because you were about to be a daddy. And I thought that was funny now that I think about it. When I thought about Scott Steiner, I realized I used to keep calling you the Big Bad Booty Daddy.
I am the Big Bad Booty Daddy. So there you go.
Your daughter could kick all our asses now. So we're fucking, you know. But anyway, that made me laugh. I thought of that when I thought of Scott Steiner last night. Anyway, Steiner, in case you haven't seen him in a while, does not look like the Scott Steiner in 2002, 2003. He's definitely lost a ton of his bulk. He's definitely off the sauce.
He's still in good shape.
Oh, yeah, he's still in good shape, but he's probably down to maybe 250 now. He's probably not 280, 290 like he was in the 2000s, 90s.
Oh, no, no.
The match itself was
Took a break from Shoney's, you know.
Took a break from Shoney's,
Serving the pancakes.
Serving the pancakes in the fucking breakfast buffet that football teams eat in the middle of Pennsylvania. The match itself was okay. I mean, Aaron Stevens is a good wrestler, but lately he's been kind of more of a gimmicky thing with the karate and stuff.
Right.
Scott Steiner has
been limited.
He does a lot of his suplexes. The match was probably, maybe 7 minutes, probably. Nothing crazy. And in the end, question mark would come in and interfere, and Steiner would win by disqualification. But then here's the big thing, Dr. G, when we were talking about question mark, the hidden babyface. He gets put in the Steiner recliner, question mark, and what does Aaron Stevens do? Skulks up the stairs and see you later, bye. Takes his belt and hits the bricks.
Exactly.
So question mark was left to
eat. They're building this.
Yeah, the question mark was left to eat the Steiner recliner at the end of the show. So, there you go. Now, as mentioned, the match that is now a title match, Nick Aldis puts Sweet Charlotte on the line, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, against Flip Gordon from Villain Enterprises. Pretty good match. Flip Gordon's a solid worker, no doubt about that. Cut a good promo earlier in the show. I'm not sure what I think of Nick Aldis as a worker. I mean, he's good. I wouldn't say he's great, but he's good.
That's why I was trying to say before I get all the hate tweets and all the nonsense that's out there, I'm not comparing him to Ric Flair in terms of as a wrestler, or his character is like a Ric Flair type character, and the way his promos, I mean, I think he's a great promo. I really do. And, he's a good worker. I wouldn't say he's a great worker. He's a good worker. But his heelish way about him and the way he, plays his character or whatever you want to call it, he brings that character, he brings his up to another level is what I'm trying to say. And he makes you want to beat the hell out of him. And he becomes that chicken shit heel when he needs to. Mm-hmm. But he always comes out on top in the end. Just like Flair did in the 80s.
Yep, exactly. In what was a great match, Nick Aldis does retain his title. So that means that Nick Aldis controls the – I don't know how they were trying to word it, but it was like controls the scenario involving, Marty Scurll, Villain Enterprises, and the Ring of Honor, cooperative, I guess.
It looks like it's going to go back and forth, and it looks like, for both companies, and so you're going to see all this on ROH shows and vice versa, they're going to see ROH guys on NWA shows, and not wrong with that.
No, it's what we need. It's what we need.
Well, because, Billy Corgan needs some more talent. You have to, if you're going to have all these belts, you have to have you have to have guys. You know, you can't have the same guys wrestling all the time.
Correct.
Yeah, and you know, again, I don't really know what his, you know. Again, I would love to, you know, hopefully maybe we could try to reach out to Dave Lugana. I'd like to get on him because I'd like to see, you know, maybe talk to him, find out, you know, what is the future? What is some of the infrastructure if they would share that with us, just so you kind of know where, you know, where the company's looking to go in the future. I mean, I think they're starting off at a great, you know, they're doing a good job. I mean, you figure they're not even on a major TV network. They pretty much got their following on social media, which is the way the world's going. And they're doing a pretty good job. I don't know what the buy rates are and everything like that. I really don't for the pay-per-views, but they said that the replay, I saw Lagana, I think, posted a tweet for the last pay-per-view, Into the Fire. Mm-hmm. I think he said that they did pretty good on the replay. So it should yep. be interesting to see what happens with this one.
I know one of our Place to Be Nation followers, one of my dear, very good friends, Sean Kidd, who just was just on Talk and Pop over on the Jenny position. He watched it because he was talking about it in the chat in one of our chats this morning. He said he watched it and enjoyed. He said he enjoyed the Thunder Rosa match. I said, well, you'll find out our analysis when the show comes up. So I think a lot of people got the replay because I think you can get it now for $15. And same thing with this show. And they're unlimited forever. So if you and I ever wanted to watch Into the Fire again, we can because it's still there, as is this show. So no interference at the end, which surprised me. I thought that there'd be some kind of shenanigans, but there was not. It was a simple Aldis roll up on the Flip Gordon went for the electric chair roll up, but Aldis turned it over clean and got the win. So we'll see how the dynamic goes starting this coming week on Power, on how this whole situation with ROH, NWA, Aldis and Smarty and that whole group is. So that should be, things will start to clear the air, which is why I'm kind of glad, Doctor, that the pay-per-view is way out ahead, you know, a couple months away, almost 2.5 months away. So it gives the shows a chance to breathe and kind of build some stuff.
Little buildup, yep.
Yeah, so I'm happy that that good for NWA to not do monthlies yet. I mean, AEW's got more money than NWA, and they're not even doing monthly pay-per-views. So maybe WWE should stop doing monthly pay-per-views at this point, but that's another that's a topic we'll discuss on the main event. Which brings us to our final match of the night, the tournament final to crown a new world television champion, Trevor Murdoch versus Ricky Starks. Now, this match was to a finish. There was no 6:05. They just wrestled till somebody won, obviously. I was skeptical to see how the chemistry is in this match between a big Haas and, you know, a little guy. And Ricky was now taking on, you know, progressively bigger dudes. He started with Matt Cross, then went to Tim Storm, and now he went to Murdoch. I thought this was a fun match. I thought the crowd was hot. I was expecting Trevor Murdoch to win. I want to also make it clear, I don't hate Ricky Starks. I just think Ricky Starks is a guy that's going to be around for a while, and you know, his moment will come. Well, his moment came, and after a couple of clothesline ducks, Murdoch doesn't let the stroke happen. Starks spears Murdoch for a two count, hits the stroke again, and picks up the victory, and the new NWA World's Television Champion is Ricky Starks. And I'm happy with that. What do you think, Dr. G? A lot of established guys with belts right now, so it's good to have a fresh face, revitalize that title.
Again, the NWA needs to build and create their own stars.
Correct.
And this is a good way to do it. I mean, when you saw when he came to the ring the first time, he picked up the kid when he came into the ring, Ricky Starks, you know,
yes,
the fans,
he did.
The younger yep. fans, he's going to gear towards the younger fans. The younger fans are going to really love him. And I think they picked a good, you know, again, I was like you, thought Trevor Murdoch was going to win, more established guy, you know, maybe give a little some credibility to the belt, and then, you know, have a Ricky Starks or someone else win it after the fact, maybe at another pay-per-view. But I don't have any problems with this at all. You know, I think Ricky Starks is a pretty good wrestler.
I agree. Yep.
And Trevor Murdoch, he's done a nice job since he came to the NWA. Yeah, you know, you kind of appreciate his skills a little bit more. I mean, I know he trains at the Harley Races School. He was close with Harley, so I'm sure he learned a lot of things there. And and he has credibility. He is a WWE star. You know, and he had some success. So he, you know, another guy backstage to help out some of these young guys. Which I see nothing wrong with that at all, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I think that's what I like about the mix of the roster. And it's a tight roster. And that's why ROH is definitely good that they're working together. Enjoy the collective. I think the other thing NWA would be good to do is reach out to New Japan and see what – I mean, right now New Japan's kind of working with AEW because Moxley's the U.S. champ. So, but that would be a nice agreement too, and maybe get some – I mean, I'd like to see Okada walk onto the set and face Nick Aldis. That would be kind of awesome. And then we went off the air. Nothing fancy. Ricky Starks was handed the belt. Joe Galli said goodnight, came up, bada bing, bada boom. A pretty neat, tight 2 hours and 30 minutes. So it was a very tight show. Overall thoughts on the show, and how does it compare with Into the Fire in terms of, you know, this is their first two pay-per-views where they're standing on their own. Your overall thoughts on the show, and was it, I don't say better or worse, but how did it compare to Into the Fire?
Well, I first of all, I thought it was a good show. I thought they established a new star in Ricky Starks. They got the tag team belts on two veterans that they put together, but give some credibility to the NWA championship belt, tag team championship belts. Agree with you a little bit on the Nick Aldis, the Flip Gordon thing. I thought that was kind of predictable, but, you know, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, it was exciting having a little tournament to see who's going to be the new NWA world champion, world television champion. Now, in terms of comparing it to Into the Fire, I don't know if one's better or worse, but
I do think that this show was a little more streamlined. I think they move things along a little faster. I thought Into the Fire might have been a little clunky, but you know what they were doing? They're brand new to the game of live pay-per-views, so you know they. I think the tournament helped.
I would say if you had to put a gun to my head and say, "Hey, this is," I would probably choose Hard Times was the better pay-per-view. Like I said, I thought everything. I thought they really had their shit together for this pay-per-view. I thought for the most part, most of the matches were really done well and advanced storylines. And now you have something to work with over the next couple of months. And I do like the working relationships with Ring of Honor. I know that Ring of Honor has taken a lot of criticism. They're struggling a bit, but this may help them. It may help some of their guys get over. And then, you know, having a Nick Aldis, like I said, his character alone is just so heel. I just love it. Just old school heel that knows how to get heat.
Well, we had said for a while that a lot of these guys were kind of being very fluid in terms of bouncing back and forth, and it was starting to get a little annoying. Like, all right, guys, I appreciate that we're in like this new world where everybody could cheer for everybody, but we need to delineate some lines in the sand, no pun intended. And then let the fans decide from there, but at least create faces and heels. And they've done that now, so that's a good thing.
And I love factions.
Oh, who doesn't love factions? Come on, man. You're talking to me here. I have at least like 8 all-time great factions. And Track Jackets kick ass. Just want to say that.
But, I will say this. I think that the NWA is smart, like you were saying. Wait a couple of months, build to a pay-per-view in April. Really can't wait to find out. I'm sure they're going to have something on Twitter or on social media saying when they're going to announce where the next pay-per-view is going to be, make a big announcement, which is awesome. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, you know, like the YouTube channel, watch NWA Power. Let's get the word out there. Let's keep that groundswell going. Support the NWA kid. And we'd love to hear from you. as well. What do you think about the podcast? You know, I know Scott, you put something on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. That people could go to your Twitter, right? I guess.
Yes, at PTB Podfather. Yep. And we have an announcement to make to wrap things up tonight. Speaking of power, we're so damn good at this that starting next week, Saturday mornings on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed and at placetobenation.com, you and I will be doing weekly power recaps. So every Saturday morning, about 9 a.m., up on both the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, whatever podcast feed you use, and at placetobenation.com, you and I will be doing weekly power recaps. Now, you're probably wondering, but the show goes up on Tuesday. I want people to have time to watch the show. The fact that it's on YouTube and that you can watch it at your leisure is great. It actually helps you and I out as well. I'm not going to break the fourth wall because sometimes our lives are busy and we don't get to watch it on Tuesday. So I want to give all of you fans a chance to watch the show. So we'll give you, 3 days to watch it and then listen to our power recap on Saturday morning and let us know what you think. So, I mean, this show is going to probably be about an hour, but I would say our power recaps should be no longer than probably 30, 35 minutes. Maybe longer depending, because the go home power to this pay-per-view was an hour and a half. So there might be some longer powers. Of course, tomorrow, Saturday, they'll be taping the next wave of power shows for the next several weeks. So,
well, that's true. And I'm, like I said, we're going to build this and, maybe see eventually we could get some guys from the NWA on the show and.
Oh, I'd love to
pick their brains a little bit. Now we'll just have to just reach out to people, but, tell everybody, tell your friends, listen to the podcast and, send your ideas, through to, at PTB.
At PTB Podfather is my, cause I don't want to get confused with the Godfather, Nate Milton. I'm the Godfather of Place to Be Nation. Nate Milton is the Godfather of the world. And which I'll be on a podcast with him at the end of the weekend on Sunday night.
So go to at PTP Podfather. Let Scott know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will tag all of the great NWA wrestlers like the kid does. And I want her to listen too. And there's another great podcast out there that you should listen to. They're also on Twitter. This is the NWA. They're a great podcast. They talk power and a bunch of other stuff. We're not here for competition. The more the merrier. We really want to promote the NWA as a nice alternative viewing of wrestling right now. Wrestling is back to being what it was in the 80s. You got all these promotions now, all these streaming, like, we have WWE Network, we have Impact the Plus, we've got New Japan Pro Wrestling World, we've got the YouTube, also Ring of Honor does some of their stuff. You know what else now, Dr. G? Ohio Valley Wrestling, good old OVW, is starting to put shows on YouTube now. So they may be become a grind. Now they're kind of their own thing now.
Al Snow.
That's Al Snow, yeah. So wrestling's back to – the only difference now is you have to pick a side now. Now the AEW snowflakes, you have to like them or you're a piece of trash. But they're fucking idiots, so what do you know?
There's idiots in all.
Yeah, they're the loudest ones, though. The WWE fans don't care. They just watch their show and move on. I got to be the heel of I got to be the AEW heel. So AEW is great, though. The promotion's fine. I have no issues with AEW as a whole, but sometimes their fans get a little unwielding. But trust me, Dr. G, you may think that's fresh for me, but I say it on every episode of Main Event. So don't worry about it. Speaking of,
Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. So what are you talking about?
Well, I'm also in, but now I'm in the Dave Lagana, William Patrick Corgan Kiss My Ass Club too. Now, I'm not in the Impact Kiss My Ass Club. Although I am a subscriber to Impact Plus. Anyway, thank you for listening. Coming up this coming week, we will have a new episode of Main Event. Hopefully, Kevin Kelly's healthy. I don't think we'll have him on this week, though. We'll try and have him on in a couple of months. We're going to talk more great wrestling. Of course, the Royal Rumble's this weekend. Enjoy it. We'll probably talk about that on Main Event this week. And this coming Saturday, not tomorrow, if you're listening, or not obviously Saturday past, but Saturday, February 1st will be our first episode of our NWA Power Recap. So
Stay tuned for that on both the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed and placetobenation.com. Check out all the great shows. We don't have time to do the live read, but we got plenty of great shows on both the wrestling feed, the pop feed. Check out Jennifer Smith's Jenny position. The feed kicks ass. Vote in the sitcom tournament. You going to call the Swedish bots for All in the Family yet?
I shouldn't have to call any bots. People should know.
People, let me ask you something. Do you have another? Because I think All in the Family might is going to be in a battle, but Three's Company is the one that I'm hoping kind of pushes through. But
I love Three's Company.
We're coming up on a great third round matchup: Seinfeld versus Coach.
Ooh.
Hayden Fox, baby, Hayden Fox. Oh, go, man. Screaming Eagles!
Well, you know me, I go for Coach, but
yeah, of course. We'll have to find a Facebook fan group. That's how.
That's
we,
a tough one.
That's how Sweet Child of Mine won the '80s song tournament. Poor Randy Atherton's gonna blow his brains out if we find any more fan groups. in any event, vote in the sitcom tournament. It's been a lot of fun. Anything else? And of course, get involved. Get involved in the GWCW match project for 2020. Get your ballot together. Pick your 100 greatest. Now, this is Crockett / WCW. So it's, and the good thing about this one, Dr. G, it's a finite window. We're going from 1981 to 2001, of course, when they went under and they got bought by WWE. So it's 20 years, and there is a ton of great matches, pay-per-views, Nitros, Saturday Nights, fucking Power Hours, anything you can find. Clash of the Champions. I got a ton of awesome matches on a list I've made already. I have three candidates for my number one match. Like, for my GWWE, my GWWE list was very easy. I had my number one and two match were locked in right when I started listing. 3 to 100 was where I did all the work. But my GWCW list is very difficult because I've got three matches. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I got three matches that could all be considered number one on the list. So, and there's more. I mean, it's only the end of January. We still got 11 months of viewing to watch. So get involved. Go to the Facebook page. Matt, we're not doing nominations. We're just doing match suggestions. If you have any suggestions for a match that nobody's mentioned, bring it up. Let's talk about it. And we'll put together some lists because I have a feeling that we're going to get some. We're going to get a lot of people this year. Come on, G. And we'll have to do a list for you because this is right in your wheelhouse. NWA, WCW matches. So, okay.
My head hurts thinking about 100.
I know. You know what's funny? When I did my WWE list, I said the same thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is a fucking bitch. But it actually came out pretty good. And then check out my part one of my two-part reveal. It's very interactive. I pause after every description to give you listeners a chance to watch the match and designate your own, give your own opinion on it. Part two will be coming up in February, just to let you know. For the doctor, Dr. G, I'm Scott Criscolo. Hope you enjoyed Hard Times. And now we're going to dive into Power. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.
Shut up, the grown-ups are talking.
Ciao. He's Dr. G. You're not. We'll be right back.
into the fire.